This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Welcome to this edition of the Escape Hour. I'm Tad Lombardo. In the studio with me today is Fiona Brooke.
Hello, Tad.
Hello. Russell's got the day off today, and helping us out is Dylan on the tools. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We've got a big show today, but first.
But first.
The normal questions that Russell asks is, what are you wearing today?
Yeah, we always have a bit of a frock chat.
You are looking lovely.
Thank you. Bit of a vintage number I picked up in New York a billion years ago, so it's vintage on me and vintage before it got to me. So it means it's had lots of wears.
That's good.
Was it expensive?
No, its cost per wear has been exceedingly, it's like basically giving me now.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's important. Have you had a good week?
I've had a crazy week.
Yep.
Very busy. What can I tell you? Lots of people are opening restaurants in this town.
Yes.
The food scene, it just doesn't stop.
Exciting.
Yeah. I've heard some exciting news that is very big, which I can't reveal as yet, but pretty soon there'll be a new exciting venue in town. There's one opening every week.
Keeping everyone in suspense here.
I know. That's I know. I have to find out when
Does
I can
Does that mean street
more.
Food's died? People are actually eating in restaurants now?
They're certainly eating in restaurants, absolutely. And but they're also still eating in warehouses, which is what we're going to be talking about partially today, because the pop-up is still huge.
People love a pop-up, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They do, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's that ceaseless sort of change that's going on in the food industry. People open and close restaurants. They redecorate them, they give them a new name, and then they, you know, rebrand.
Yeah, and evolve into something else.
And I don't know necessarily if it's really, it's a good PR story, actually. That's what it really is for a lot of people. They just want to revitalize their venue.
And it's important, though, to keep it fresh. You know, Melbourne's always changing. The food scene's always changing. And I think it's a good idea to do that. And speaking of the food scene, I'm lucky enough to be going to the Gourmet Traveller Awards the week after next.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And should be a bit of fun.
And they're
Sydney.
Holding it at the new Chin Chin.
Yes, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that would be a spot for the Gourmet Traveller Food Awards.
Yeah. Is that on the invitation at least? You know?
Where's the new Chin Chin?
It's in Surrey Hills. Yeah.
It's gone suburban.
Yeah. Well, it's very close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stone.
But that's right. Exciting.
Yeah.
And how was your week, Tad?
Hectic, but good. I recovered from my short illness last week. So.
Yeah. That sounded violent.
It was. Yeah. We won't get into much more of that. That's all right. But I'm doing better now, so it's all good. Thank a few people first.
Yes.
Just Dylan, again, thanks for filling in on
that's
the
okay.
tools. I appreciate that. I want to thank Peter Tucknell for doing the podcast. Neil on the front desk. Adam, obviously, for the wonderful rendition of the news that he gave earlier, and obviously our very, very important listeners who, and our audience, who listen to us every week and internationally and here in Australia.
Absolutely.
It's all good. So,
And today we will be traveling to Singapore. If anyone is interested in asking our guest about Singapore,
you can contact us on SMS 0427-JOY-949 or on the phone 1-300-JOY-949 or you can email us onair@joy.org.au and ask any questions you want. As long as they're appropriate, we'll answer them. So today, Fiona, you want to introduce our
have Alicia Chung with us. She is a chef. She's chefed in Singapore, she's chefed in Australia, she's a pet master and currently is working on a project called Majestic Hawker with the guys from Fancy Hanks.
Tell us about that.
Hey guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. So Fancy Hanks and I are doing a pop-up called Majestic Hawker. I'm from Singapore, so we're doing a Singapore-style street food barbecue and it's held in a warehouse, so it's really cool. We play really good daggy 80s to 90s music videos.
Yep.
And we do basically street food that I grew up with. So we got like barbecue chicken wings,
yep.
stingray, which is smothered, and sambal, which is a chili paste.
I thought I asked about the stingray.
Yeah.
Stingray, I've never had it. It sounds very interesting.
Stingray is amazing.
Really?
There's one place in Melbourne that I know that has been serving stingray for quite a long time.
Right.
A seafood restaurant in St Kilda. But I haven't seen it on many other menus.
Yeah, it's not really a popular dish in Melbourne. It's more of a byproduct as well from bycatch from the fish, the fishermen.
Right.
But in Southeast Asia, actually, it's one of the main fish that we eat.
What kind of fish or seafood does it have the same consistency as? Yeah. Is it flake or is it tuna? Or
I would say it's kind of one of a kind because it's a fish with a lot of cartilage.
Right.
So it's actually you've got to scrape the meat with a fork.
Really?
And that's how you get it. So back in Singapore, we eat really small stingrays, and you can actually eat the cartilage as well, which is good texture in the mouth.
Right.
But in Australia, we can't get those small stingrays. So what we're getting for the pop-up is eagle ray.
Okay.
Yeah, so eagle ray is a really good fish. So it's really firm and it's white flesh. And there's a bit of cartilage in there as well.
And do you marinate it first? Or is it just the barbecue flavors that come through with the wood and
so what we do is we put a chili paste, a homemade chili paste on it.
Yeah.
And we wrap it in banana leaves. And we put it on the charcoal straight to grill.
Okay.
I must say that sounds pretty good.
It does.
Yeah.
So the version that you're going to be serving here... you have to scrape that because it's a more mature stingray. Is that
so
the reason for that?
Because it's a more mature stingray, we actually take the bones out.
Okay.
So it's a boneless fillet.
Oh, okay.
Serving. Yeah, it's more applicable for Australians.
Yeah. It's easy.
And of course, so barbecue stingray is one of the many very popular dishes in Singapore. Singaporean cuisine. Wow, it's such an interesting blend. I mean, I've not been to Singapore.
I've been many times. I've always enjoyed going to Singapore and always try to, you know, if it's a stopover situation, I always try to make sure it's a stopover in Singapore because it's an easy city to get around. It's obviously very safe. It's very clean. And there's a lot to do. And the food scene is pretty incredible. And I think it's really evolved a lot over the years. And your time in Singapore recently, you've spent at Restaurant Andre, which is number 14.
14 in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. How was that experience for you? Was it... high pressure?
It's really high pressure.
Yeah.
Pretty intense.
Yeah.
Coming from a casual dining experience background, I was trying to get into fine dining and learn more. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why not just go to the best restaurant in Singapore?
Start at
the bottom at the top restaurant.
Yeah. Wow, that counts.
Yeah. And I spent a whole year there and I learned a lot from there.
Yeah.
And it's more of fine dining scene is really different to casual dining.
Yeah.
And getting the details in, the perfection, and using tweezers to plate.
Yeah.
It was really different.
Wow. Yeah, tweezers. That sounds just overwhelmingly detailed.
Yeah. But that's fine dining, isn't it?
That is fine dining.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
In the studio with us today is Alicia Chong, and we are talking about food in Singapore. And just before that short break, we were talking about fine dining and wanted to know the difference between fine dining in Singapore versus fine dining in Melbourne, based on your experiences recently at Restaurant Andre.
So I'd say the most important difference between the two countries is because Singapore doesn't have any fresh produce.
Right.
So we don't really have we don't have farms there.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a couple of hydroponics farms because the land is so small.
Yeah.
So most of our fruit and veg is actually import. Mm. So it's imported from mostly Japan, France, and all the different countries.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main difference because in Melbourne you can get fresh produce everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously locally grown.
Probably, and locally grown. That's
do you
the
get
most
much from Australia?
Thing. We get a lot of meat from Australia.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I was reading about one restaurant that was serving Australian Wagyu.
Yeah.
And things like that. So you would imagine it's relatively close.
Yeah. And just that obviously the fact that everything has to be brought in, you know, because Singapore is an island state about the size of Tasmania, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty small.
Yeah. And That obviously reflects the price, you know, of what people pay for a meal. And I think, you know, a lot of times Singapore does get a bit of a bum rap for being an expensive place to go and to travel. But if you know where to go, you know, and it's like anywhere, you know, you kind of go on a holiday and you're going to go to a fine dining restaurant, but you're not going to do that every night of the week. You can still get some, you know, reasonable food, street food and things like that in Singapore, and it'd be very low cost.
Yeah, really. That's true. Like, Singapore is really cheap on one side, yeah, and it's really expensive on the fine dining scene.
There's not a lot of in between.
Yeah, but there's no really no middle class kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the street food that we have in Singapore is actually all hawker centres.
Yeah.
Because back then, we used to have street vendors, but the government, just to clean up the streets, what they did was make a complex, and they put all the food vendors in there, and they put tables and chairs, and that's what became hawker centres.
Right. And has that worked well?
It's really good. So it's really clean. So I'd say for foreigners, that's the best stepping stone into Southeast Asian food.
Yeah.
Instead of going to Thailand where you get street food and you're a bit afraid to try it, go to Singapore first, try the hawker centres. They're really clean. They get inspected really regularly. And the food is awesome.
And you can experience a lot of different styles.
That's correct. Yeah, Singapore is a multicultural country. So we have influences from all around the world and from the region as well.
What's your favorite style of food in Singapore?
For me, right now, it's definitely barbecue.
Right.
It's anything in barbecue. But like seafood is really good in Singapore.
Yes. You're a barbecue master, is that right? Pit master. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, pit master.
What does that mean?
So it basically means I'm in charge of the barbecue.
Okay. So get the master bit.
So how long did it take you to get to that point to be considered a pit master?
Probably a couple of years.
Right.
But I'm still learning. I wouldn't call myself a pit master.
Okay.
But I'm still learning, and every person I meet has a new technique or new lessons to teach me.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think the barbecue world is really huge.
Yeah.
All around
it's
the world.
Huge.
Every country has their own kind of barbecue.
Yeah.
And every country, every culture you go, it's very different in terms of styles and flavors.
So you specialize in American barbecue, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So what's the difference between American barbecue and, say, Asian style barbecue?
So American barbecue is more of low temperatures and long smoking time.
Yep.
While Asian barbecue is more of high heat, really quick, just on the flames.
Okay. So it's not flavor imparted by the wood you're using, or like an American barbecue. A lot of the flavors come through because of the wood that's being used, whether it's apple or cherry, whatever it is.
Asian barbecue is more of getting the char, and that's the flavor that you get because you're charring the marinade, and it becomes really sweet.
It caramelizes.
It caramelizes.
And that's the difference there. And so it's a lot quicker.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'd love to know where the Australian barbecue came from, because the technique, because there is no technique. It's stick it on, burn it, put tomato sauce on it, eat it. That's Australian barbecue.
Well said from a vegetarian, right? No, but what is your interpretation of Australian barbecue? Is that accurate?
Pretty much.
Okay, so we have a lot of ways to go to perfect that a bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I mean, it is very exciting, the barbecue culture that has been brought over, you know, the American barbecue culture. It certainly has got a lot of people talking and a lot of people eating.
Definitely.
So we'll be able to try some of that at Majestic Hawker, which will be delicious.
Yeah, and that's happening soon, isn't it?
So that's next Thursday to Saturday.
Okay.
17 to 19 of August, and it's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Right. A lot of people to serve.
We actually already sold out of the 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. seatings.
Okay.
Which is why 2 days ago we added the 6 p.m. ones.
Right.
Just to accommodate more
people. Work that out for you.
I reckon it's that 80s music videos you're playing that is actually drawing the crowds.
It's
that
good.
Must be it.
Yeah.
Can you get everything done within an hour? Is the seating on the hour and then you get new
So the seatings is by the hour just to stagger the orders so the kitchen doesn't get slammed. But you wouldn't have to leave in an hour, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into that, obviously. There's, you know, for a pop-up, it's not like a restaurant that's sitting there waiting to go. It's a lot involved. How long have you been working on this project for? Has it been a long time in the planning?
Me, Kent Bell from Fancy Hanks and Mike Patrick from Fancy Hanks as well, we've been talking about this for about 4 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they used to come to Singapore to visit a couple of trips just to get the street food. And we used to go to Malaysia as well. And that's when we thought, why not bring this to Melbourne?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like this in Melbourne. There are Malaysian restaurants here for sure, mm-hmm. but no one's doing the barbecue dishes just like we are.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And are all the ingredients are from Australia that you're using, or are you getting from all over the place as well?
So
from Singapore?
They're actually all the produce is from Australia.
Okay, yep.
But we actually imported our barbecues from Singapore.
Ah, okay.
So the chicken wing barbecues.
Very authentic, the actual yeah. barbecue.
Yeah.
So the only job for that barbecue is just to cook chicken wings.
That's good. So you had to fly those over, obviously.
We had to fly them over,
right,
yeah.
Okay. And what makes that style barbecue different to, you know, one of the American ones that you'd see? Is it the you know, from equipment point of view?
Equipment. So it's basically the, it's stainless steel.
Okay.
Compared to the American barbecues. Yep. And it's also, it's not covered.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a grill.
Yep.
But it actually has, a lot of skewers on them where you can put chicken wings straight in the line.
Okay.
And that's where you get the maximum crisp
right.
from the skin because they're all flat out.
Yep. And it's obviously not covered because you want that high heat. And
the high heat and, yeah, you want the smoke to go everywhere in the
right.
warehouse as well.
That's a lot of chicken wings that have to be cooking and barbecuing, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to a restaurateur the other day and they're putting in a raised barbecue pit into
right.
their venue and they will have enough room in their kitchen to cook six whole animals at one time.
Six
wow. at a time. I was like, well, it just boggles the mind, really.
It's like Noah's Ark on a...
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's crazy, though. But it's interesting because it is becoming more and more popular, and obviously as that style cooking becomes more the norm, the equipment starts to flow in. And again, a lot of the equipment is made in the United States or other places, so it's interesting to see, you know, these things and restaurants actually putting them in.
Mm.
And utilize them on a regular basis, not just for like a one-off thing. It's part of what they
well,
do. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the smoker at Fancy Hank's, they had to crane it in the front window of the new venue.
Wow.
I really wanted to be there to get a photograph of that, but they had to do it at like 7 a.m., block the whole of Bourke
right.
Street and crane it in.
Oh, that's a job, isn't it? That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's a monster.
That is, absolutely.
But in a couple of weeks, we'll have Jess Pryles on, who is a specialist in American barbecue. So she'll be in to talk all about Texas for us and barbecue in that area.
Right.
But back to Singapore.
Yes.
I think we were talking about the fine dining scene in
yep.
Singapore compared to the fine dining scene in Australia. I mean, in Australia, we see that fine dining is sort of a little bit on the wane. But in Singapore...
I think the fine dining scene is getting a lot bigger now. Mm. It only started yep. a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of new restaurants and chefs getting flown in from different countries to start
right.
their own restaurants. There's a place called Burnt Ends.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually yeah. from... the head chef is an Australian guy, because Dave Pine.
Yeah.
And he specializes in... He only cooks on charcoal as well.
Okay.
And a lot of his meat and wine are imported from Australia.
Oh, okay.
So it's really good. And it's one of the top restaurants in Singapore as well.
Right. I think, too, I think now that, you know, like in Asia, Asia has its own, you know, 50 best list and things like that. I think that's probably why, you know, the fine dining scene has become, you know, a bit more prominent, you know, as those sorts of lists become a bit more pertinent, I think. And it draws a bit more attention to the local restaurants that you know, you can focus on them and give them the, you know, the kudos that they deserve for being, you know, one of the better restaurants and doing well at what they do.
Yeah, and Singapore's really privileged because we actually got the Michelin Guide.
Yes, you got
so
that as
well. So it started 2 years ago.
Right. Mm. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, so it's only 2 years ago, and it really showcases the local food.
Yeah.
So we have one Michelin star hawkers.
Right.
Which
wow.
is pretty much, yeah. you know, they are actually one of the best in the world for hawker food.
Right.
And they're getting recognized for it.
That's
and it's
great.
Really good. One of the guys is actually coming to Melbourne.
Oh,
so he sells soy sauce chicken on
okay.
noodles.
Right.
And he's expanding and he's coming
really?
To Melbourne, I think in October.
Really? Okay. That's
where does that name come from, the hawker?
So hawkers, basically people who used to sell food on the street and they used to carry it on sticks on
yep.
their back. And that's how it came about. So they're just going around and selling stuff.
Yeah. And as you said earlier, it was because of the fact that the Singaporean government wanted to clean up the streets, that they moved them into centers that they created for them to go and cook and serve their food. It is interesting because, I mean, that does transfer to the Melbourne food scene a bit with that style of food. And
which has become very popular.
Very much so, yeah. You know, there's Hawker Hall up in Windsor and those sorts of places that have become quite known for that, which is really quite fascinating.
I remember as a child hearing that Singapore was a place where you weren't allowed to chew gum.
Is that true?
That was a myth.
It was true to start with. I think no one's going to arrest you for doing that now.
I mean, now you wouldn't get arrested for chewing gum, but you just get arrested for selling gum.
Yeah. Oh, you get arrested for selling.
You can do time for selling.
Yeah, so you can't actually buy gum in Singapore.
Wow.
Which is quite interesting because a lot of Singaporeans go to Malaysia, which is right next door,
and
we'll drive in, buy a carton of gum, and bring it back in for our friends.
Have you been chewing gum since you've been in Melbourne?
Lots of them.
What about in Singapore?
No,
it's just not cool. It's probably more the foreigners that try to
chew break the law here.
Yeah, exactly. It is fascinating though, like, you know, because Singapore, like I was saying earlier, it's such a clean place, and obviously those sorts of rules that can kind of seem cutthroat in a lot of other, you know, societies. That's why it's so clean, and it's just not tolerated, you know. Which, you know, like graffiti and all those sorts of things that we kind of celebrate here in Melbourne are just not part of the culture.
Yeah, I think a lot of Australians would be really surprised at the amount of laws that we have in Singapore. Because some of them are pretty ridiculous.
Like what?
It's probably like chewing gum.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a lot of stuff. It's actually, Singapore's known as the fine city.
Right.
Because you get fined.
Fined for everything.
Fine city. You cannot fine dining, but fine as in penalties.
Yeah.
I would give up chewing gum to never have to have the experience of feeling under a table and seeing chewing gum.
Yeah.
That's a liberty. Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. We could do without that.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, because we always think that we live in a nanny state.
But we do.
But in Singapore, it takes it to the next level.
It is the next level.
Have you been fined in your time in Singapore for jaywalking or?
I've been fined for throwing stuff on the ground, like
just really,
like dropping stuff. And so, like for example, like cigarette butts. If you throw them on the floor, and there would normally be inspectors on the street, and they'll just fine you on the spot.
Like, are they wearing uniforms?
They're plain clothes.
It's the litter police.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour with Tad and Fiona. Russ unfortunately couldn't make it in today. He had an emergency, and it wasn't because he'd left his car running.
Not like two weeks ago.
And we're here with Alicia Chung, who is with Majestic Hawker. We're talking all things Singapore.
That's right. And we just got a message from Matt from Thornbury, and he writes, Singapore is such a modern country, but why won't they legalize homosexuality? Good question. And what do you think the reason that is? I mean, you know, Singapore is, like I say, very multicultural. I've always found it to be, you know, quite an accepting place. And but obviously homosexuality is not legal in Singapore. But it's also probably because it's a very conservative culture as well. Is that the case in Singapore?
Yeah, so I feel like the whole country is really open-minded.
Yeah.
But the laws have not changed over the last few years. People have been pushing for it to be legalized. And there's actually a huge movement behind it.
Okay.
There's an event in Singapore called the Pink Dot.
Yeah.
And that is where locals get together once a year and quietly and calmly protest the laws.
Right.
But what I feel personally is Singapore's really conservative.
Yeah.
And we have the older people in Singapore are not open to all these new changes.
Yeah.
And because it's also part of Asia.
Yeah.
And the Asian culture and family values are really important there. So I think that is one thing that Singapore is lacking behind in terms of the whole world.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that in the next few years or even...
Change will happen.
Yeah, change will happen.
Because Taiwan has changed dramatically. Yeah. You know, no one ever expected that happening.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I just want to say too, I think, you know, I mean, it's probably a situation where a lot of the majority of people... don't have a problem with it, but it's the government. Just like in Australia, the majority of the people don't have a problem with same-sex marriage. It's the government that is the problem, you know.
That's
and
true,
they're not necessarily representing the voice of the people, which is very frustrating.
Mm. I think the recent poll of people against changing the laws was about 40% were against it. And that was made up of primarily the older generation.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, I mean, it will change in the future for sure. But for now.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation too where, you know, like even in Australia, that acceptance or approval rate was not always what it is. And it takes time for people to stop being afraid of what they don't know or don't understand. And in Singapore, it probably is the same situation. It's just happening a little bit further, you know, down the timeline in that regard of things. And but I also think, too, that, you know, LGBTI people should not be afraid to go to Singapore. It's not a situation where, you know, that you'll be unwelcomed necessarily. It's just like anywhere else in the world. If you know that there's certain rules in place, you have to modify your behavior, unfortunately.
I mean, definitely. You're always welcome in Singapore.
Yeah.
There's a huge lifestyle, nightlife in Singapore as well, just dedicated. So we have gay bars and clubs and stuff like that, and lots of events going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely welcome in there. And no one, you wouldn't be walking down the street afraid of what's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
That's for sure.
Because it is a safe country. And,
it's a very safe country.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the Pink Dot event.
Yeah.
Happens in July, you mentioned?
So it's June or July.
June or July.
Every year.
And even though it is for locals, foreigners can participate by kind of being there.
So normally they will barricade the park, and right. only Singaporeans and PRs are allowed in the protest.
So they check IDs? Is that
they would, yeah.
Right, okay.
And they have a concert, so it goes for the whole day. You can have a picnic in the park and listen to, you know, performances. But I've seen foreigners outside of the barricades just trying to support the cause.
Okay, that's fantastic. Yeah, so if anyone comes in to Singapore and you're travelling to Singapore around that time, you should look out for the Pink Dot. Sounds like a fantastic fantastic event. So you're going to be travelling back to Singapore for family reasons in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Like, what are your favourite things to do when you're in Singapore visiting? You know, I know that aside from visiting family, what do you really love to do?
The thing the most is, I know the first thing I get back in Singapore is I'll get my family and we'll drive to a hawker centre. And that's the only thing I miss in Singapore.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, what do you miss back home? I'm like, it's the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah.
And the flavors are really different as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of interesting things to do in Singapore.
Yeah.
There's a really good craft beer and cocktail scene as well.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think that we need to get some of those craft beer brewers over here for Good Beer Week.
Or we can go there.
Oh, we can go there, yeah.
We've got another message. This one's from Russell.
Russell.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Russ. He said, great show, guys. He wants to know, Alicia, if you've been to the amazing Singapore Night Arts Festival, which is starting next week. Have you ever been to that?
Yes, I have been to that once before.
And it's good?
It's really good. It's pretty much they have events all around Singapore. And
okay.
At night they have projectors and projecting arts
right.
on the heritage buildings. And it's really beautiful.
That's amazing. So that starts next week?
It starts next week.
Yep. And then he also wants to know, where do I get a great mango lassi and a Singapore sling?
Oh, Singapore sling. Definitely Raffles Hotel.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, the famous Raffles.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
or really you can come to Majestic Hawker next week.
there you go.
That'll be a little bit less expensive.
Yeah. And then he has one other question, or more of a request. Do you have the phone number of a cute Singaporean man? He wants one.
Ooh.
Phone number.
I wouldn't put it on air, but...
Okay. We'll talk afterwards.
Russ, you're in luck.
Yeah, exactly. Very naughty, Russ. But anyway, I'm glad you're listening.
Right.
Hope everything at the office is going well.
Get back to work, Russ.
Yeah, exactly. So are we. But Singapore is known for those sorts of events that happen quite regularly, and it's done very well. And that's sort of the excitement of the city. And there is a lot of history to Singapore as well, especially from World War II and, you know, all that whole scenario. A lot of people will travel there because there's quite a lot of interesting things happening, and you know, museums and things like that you can go to and learn about the history and obviously the British, you know, once were, you know, it was, I don't know if we call it a colony, but it was under British rule.
Yeah.
Was it a colony?
It was a colony.
Right, okay. Mm. And obviously when that changed, you know, things changed a lot in Singapore as well. And you mentioned earlier, you know, obviously Malaysia is just right across the bridge, the causeway, yeah. right? And it's very close. You can see it from the other side. And Singapore gets all its water still from Malaysia?
So currently Singapore, we have our own water filtration system.
Ah,
which is
okay.
actually from sewage.
Okay.
So it's called New Water.
Yep. New Water.
So what they do is they filter all your sewage and yep. they get fresh water from there. Mm. And I believe all our tap water is actually sewage.
Right.
Filtered water.
Yeah.
yeah. it's not sewage, but
that's
yes.
probably one of the only places in the world that actually does that across the board then.
Well, I do believe that they do that in Melbourne as well. There is treatment plants and some of the water, I don't know if it goes, it doesn't go necessarily into yeah. drinking water, but they do recycle right. and it goes back into the system.
But it's interesting that Singapore, because I remember when I was travelling out of Singapore, it was always a situation where like Malaysia was threatening to cut the one yeah. water pipe which goes over that bridge, you know.
That's
it was always a situation there.
Yeah, we're a country without natural resources,
yeah.
so it's really important to keep the relationships between the other countries.
Yeah.
But because we were getting all our water from Malaysia, so we had to find something else.
Yep.
And sewage water was the answer.
Treated sewage
treated,
water.
Treated sewage water.
No, because the water is very clean in Singapore. You don't have to boil it before you drink it. It's
and,
one of the places you can drink it.
You don't find people drinking bottled water everywhere, for example, like you do in yeah. other Asian countries, is
yeah.
that right?
No, so you just drink tap water.
Okay. This is good to
yeah.
know.
And interesting, too, like when I used to go down to Singapore, like I said, and it gets hot there, hot and humid. So I used to love to travel in the autumn, which is October, November, because there would be very little humidity. So I could walk around and not sweat like a pig, basically.
yeah.
But obviously it's a tropical island and you know, it's a warm place. And there's a few sort of resorts that have been developed in what's the island? Sentosa
Island.
Sentosa right?
Island.
Yeah. That's
so
sort
we've
of
got Resort World there.
Yeah.
Which is like different kinds of hotels. They
yeah.
have a casino. Universal Studios is there as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it's more of a, I find it more of a theme park island.
Right.
You go
sounds
in
like
and
it.
It's
yeah.
a lot of fun things to do.
Yeah.
Singapore actually has two casinos. One is on that island and one's on the mainland.
Okay.
Which is at Marina Bay Sands.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So is there much in the way of like natural surroundings? Because I did read about a tropical forest, a tropical rainforest, but I don't know whether it's a naturally occurring tropical rainforest.
So I mean, there are a couple of parks and islands there that we conserve. And those places, we have islands called, one of them is called Pulau Ubin and one's called Coney Island.
Okay.
And those are preserved parks, so you go in and nothing has changed from back 50 years ago.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, but other than that, the city is pretty much all high-rise buildings.
Right, yeah. And it's that high-density kind of living.
High density.
Yeah, yeah. Which is similar to what you see in yeah. Hong Kong or other yeah. other cities. There's probably a lot more in Singapore because it's just there's not much land. And the population of Singapore is about...
I think it's 7 million?
7 million, yeah. So it's a lot of people in a small area. And... Which kind of makes sense, but that the rules have to be so strict because if not, you know, you could run into some serious problems with, you know, civil disobedience and things like that. And I guess that's a big part of the reason for that. But it's a great, you know, stopover. Like, you know, Changi Airport is one of the most incredible airports you'll ever go to. You can.
I think I have been to
yeah,
Changi Airport.
Yeah.
I think you could walk around it forever, for like 2 days and still
lost.
Not see the whole
yeah.
the whole airport.
But it's a sort of airport.
Tank.
Yeah.
And I think there's a wild kind of life park.
Yeah,
yeah, there's
the
a cinema
pool.
In there as well.
A cinema.
And
a
swimming pool. There's hotels.
There's the swimming pool, there are hotels
yeah.
in there.
Yeah. Which is always
yeah.
great, you know, because
you
if you're
spend
not actually.
A lot of time in there.
Well, you can, but if it's a stopover and you don't have enough time to actually, you know, spend a day or two in Singapore, you can always just book into one of those hotels and sleep for 6 hours and catch your flight back to wherever you're going, which is really, really convenient.
But I think Singapore probably deserves more than just a couple of days,
I agree.
Doesn't it?
But for me, when I was traveling in it, I wasn't
yeah.
always able to stay. But it was just yeah. a good way to get refreshed, and then you're on your journey depending on your flight schedule, you know.
Yeah, it's
but
funny.
It does deserve a
because when I talk to Australians, I'm like, "Have you visited Singapore?" They're like, "Yeah, I've been to the airport."
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "No, got to get out."
Yeah, it doesn't count. Sorry, if it's a stamp in your passport, you didn't go there.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Do they even stamp passports these days in a lot of places? I get
well,
so
I'm
upset.
Just dating myself. Sorry. Yeah.
I get so upset when I go through customs.
I know.
And I'm like, please stamp my passport. If you don't stamp it, I won't have been here.
When I went for the first time overseas in 2011, they stamped my passport. So that was my first time.
It's exciting,
though. Get it out. I'm going to Singapore.
It's exciting.
It was a great city. And the zoo was incredible as well.
Did you go to Night Safari?
Oh, I didn't go to Night Safari. I went during the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So
where
right
did you
beside.
Stay?
I stayed in Geylang, which.
Sorry?
Geylang, okay. Which is the taxi driver on the way from the train station to the hotel was wondering why we were staying there and whether we were staying there for a night, a week, or an hour, because it was often rented for the hour.
Oh.
And I found that some of the ladies who work the oldest profession wear white, and white is the colour of that
right.
that profession. That's
really
a lady in white at a hotel.
Okay.
So if you're travelling and you are interested in that, yes.
But you didn't know that before you booked in there, is that?
No.
Right, okay.
It was a student. We were all students, so trying to get the best bang for our buck, to say the least.
Little did they know.
So Geylang is the red light district of Singapore.
Right.
Yeah.
And it has the best food. And
really good food.
But there's other stuff to do at night as well.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad. We've got Fiona and Dylan with us today and Alicia Chong from Singapore. And we are talking all things Singapore, food, and a few extracurricular things happening. What is, in your mind, obviously every city has pluses and minuses. What is the best thing about Singapore and what is the worst thing about it?
I think the best thing in Singapore is that it's a country that's so modern, but so traditional as well. And
such
I like
a juxtaposition.
I like that you can walk down the street, you can see old heritage shop houses, but on the opposite street, you can get office buildings, high rise.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really different. For me, it's a great mix of cultures and heritage,
and a lot of technology too. It's pretty much state of the art technology because it's always so new, and it's on the cusp of Asia where a lot of the technology comes out of, and it's a financial center of the world as well, it's a fascinating place to go to. And what's the worst?
I'd
or if there isn't one,
is the weather.
So you're, what, too hot?
It's too hot. It's too humid.
Yeah.
And for me, I grew up there. I can't take
imagine it. Imagine working in a kitchen as well. I mean,
so a lot of kitchens in there have AC.
Still,
so you can't work in that weather.
Yeah, it'd be hard, and it's just exhausting, that kind of weather too. So, it on a holiday is one thing, you know, because you don't really care so much. But when you have to live in it day in and day out, and it rains a lot too, sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, because of being tropical, usually at the end of the day.
Usually, over the night.
Okay, yep.
And then which is good because you wake up in the morning; it's a bit cooler.
Yeah, yep. It's fascinating, and best time of year to go. I mean,
you mentioned autumn.
I meant it for me. But, you know, is there a high season in Singapore? Or is it generally the summer? Or
it's pretty much the whole year.
All year round.
But it really depends on what kind of event you're looking for.
Yeah.
For, like, art scenes and music festivals. There are different months to go in.
Yeah.
If you want to get more culture, we've got Chinese New Year in February. We've got Deepavali in October. And we've got Hari Raya, which is the Muslim festivals, in June or July. And so those are different months that you could go in, and the whole country would be basically celebrating this national holiday.
I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
You could get a completely different cultural experience depending on
where you are,
time of year you go.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Sounds amazing. And so do lots of, when Singaporeans go on holidays, where did they go? Do they go across to Malaysia? Do they visit the islands around Malaysia? Or where do they go?
So for weekends, we usually go around Southeast Asia. So beach holidays.
Yep.
A lot of them actually come to Australia.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge market for Singaporeans. And it's also because it's so close. It's only about 7-hour flight.
Yeah, it's easy.
Mm. Yeah, it's really
time
easy.
Time zone's not that big of a difference either.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But I find that Singaporeans, you can find them all over the world. And you can hear them. I can recognize a Singaporean based on the accent.
Course,
do you know what? It's funny because I sometimes get confused with the Singaporean because it sounds very American accent a bit. And a friend of mine, she was from Singapore, and I said, you know, your American accent's actually stronger than mine. And I asked why, and she's like, well, I watch a lot of American TV as a kid. And it's quite interesting how that actually had that influence over her.
A lot of the TV and radio is all American accents.
Yeah.
But when you catch a group of Singaporeans talking together, you would never understand what we're talking about.
Right.
It's different when we're talking to a foreigner compared to when you're talking to Singaporeans. Your accent changes.
Is it Singlish that you speak?
It is Singlish. Yeah. So it's a slang. It's a mix of English, Chinese, Malay, Tamil. Just all four different languages put in one. And so, yeah, in one sentence, we could be speaking four languages.
Right. That's fascinating.
Wow, that is extraordinary.
Yeah. And the media's all pretty much state-run, which was run by Mediacorp.
Yeah, so it's the newspapers and media all by the same company. So it's, I think Singapore Press Holdings, SPH, they own pretty much most of the media publications.
And the parliament in Singapore, is it still six seats? Is that right?
No, I think it's 58.
Oh, is it 58? Yeah, maybe 58. I'm thinking of something else. Okay.
Yeah.
But the political system is a bit different to what we would have here in Australia. It's not Westminster based, is it? The judicial system?
It's based on the British government.
Oh, okay, so it is. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting how the British have really influenced, you know, obviously those in the colonies and the places where they used to be, it's still the same sort of, you know, type of government.
Well, they leave their hotels and their governments everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know, what is in a Singapore sling?
Lots of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
I can't wait to have one. I can't believe I've gone this long without
having one. You've never had one?
I've never had a Singapore sling.
When I was in Singapore, I was 18, which was great because I could drink here, but I couldn't do anything over there. I couldn't drink. I couldn't go to the casino because the legal age is 21. So
actually, drinking was 18.
When I was on an airline, your national carrier, I had a Singapore sling, and I'm not sure it would be like the one that's at Ruffles, but it was nice.
It is nice, yeah.
Nice, knocking back. I think that was made of cordial.
All right, we still haven't got to the bottom of what's in a Singapore sling.
So it's basically a lot of stuff in there. It's about 20 ingredients.
20? Yeah.
So it's mostly pineapple juice, contraire, grenadine syrup, and like really a ton of alcohol in there.
Oh my God, we're going to have a test later.
It's like an iced tea, but a Singaporean.
Yeah, it's more like a fruity cocktail.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like an alcoholic iced tea, you know, like one of those. Yep. But yeah.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
Would it be safe to drive home after having one?
No.
Probably not.
Okay, well, I'll definitely be catching a taxi to the Majestic Hawker, where I will be knocking back one, maybe two.
Probably more than one.
Maybe
more. if I can sweet talk my way around the chef.
Well, you've got a good opportunity.
What are some other guilty pleasures in Singapore? When I went there, I was mesmerised by the different types of twisties, and they seem to love Milo.
Oh, Milo is huge.
Milo is just,
Milo, really?
Yeah.
We used to have... So it's like how you guys have ice cream trucks here. Mm-hmm. We have Milo trucks back in Singapore.
Get out, really?
Yeah, so outside all the high schools and middle schools, we actually have Milo trucks. And so after school, you come out and buy a cup of Milo.
Really?
And it's a different recipe compared to what you guys make here. Yep. So in our Milo, we put condensed milk and milk and lots of ice.
It's a bit sweeter.
Yeah, it's a lot sweeter. Yep. And we do Milo dinosaurs as well, which is we pour Milo powder on top of the cup.
Really?
So it's Milo and Milo powder on top.
Really?
Yeah, and that's a huge thing.
I came back with reaffirming my love of Milo from coming back from Singapore, which is very cultural and very foodie, I'm sure.
Well, I'm finding out a lot about Singapore. I had no idea.
What other
interesting little tricks do we have about Singapore? Things that you wouldn't know about till you get there.
Actually, I would say the cocktail bars are really good. Mm-hmm. If you go to Singapore, you have to try one of these. One of my favorite bars in Singapore is called Bar Native.
I've heard of that.
So yep. Native does they only sell alcohols from Southeast Asia. So they're really local based.
Uh-huh.
And Vijay, who is the head bartender, he actually goes to the hills beside the bar and forages for ants.
Right.
For his cocktails.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I think that takes
I had ants the other night.
Did you?
At Attica, yeah.
Wow, and tell me, how were the ants prepared?
They were on a dessert, a chamomile dessert, and they were actually really good. Nice crunchy texture.
Were they black ones?
They were.
Little black ones?
Yeah.
Is it like having a poppy seed?
Yeah, and they kind of pop in your mouth. They're really crunchy. Yeah, it was good.
Are they full of protein or?
Well, I think so, probably.
I think so. Well, you know, there is talk about eating insects is going to be the way that we're going to be surviving from a protein base. Do they cook insects in Singapore?
No.
They don't?
No, so we don't really eat insects. More of a Thailand or Vietnam.
Yeah.
But, but this bar, he gets Thai ants. And he puts them in the cocktails.
Right.
And it's really good. He actually does his own gin as well. So we have he has matcha gin and masala gin.
Right.
So it's really interesting.
So even the insects are imported in Singaporean cuisine. See, that's something farm in Singapore.
Yeah, exactly. But Singapore is also really known for its pastry and chocolate. It's starting to become, even though it's such a hot climate, that's something that's starting to take off. And, you know, like obviously Janice Wong's 2 a.m. dessert bar, which has been open for quite a while now, but she gets quite a bit of attention for what she does.
Yeah, she's a big celebrity chef back in Singapore.
Yeah, and she comes to, you know, Melbourne quite a bit when there's Melbourne Food and Wine Festival events and different things. And I've done a tasting menu night with her, you know, here at one time, and it was really, really fascinating. But she's on that cutting edge of, you know, inventing new things all the time. And but it's just fascinating that it's you know, in Singapore that kind of thing is actually becoming very popular, and even the chocolate, because you wouldn't expect that being such a hot climate. But there's a lot of different places like that are specializing and you know, doing the whole bean to bar thing, and you know, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, the coffee culture in Singapore is huge as well.
Oh, yeah, really? Well, tell me, Starbucks in Singapore, is that something that's popular?
So Starbucks is everywhere in Singapore.
Okay. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't really go to Starbucks. No. But the coffee culture there is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's almost like a mini of Melbourne. It's like a version of Melbourne back in Singapore. We've got baristas that trained in Melbourne, and they go back to Singapore and they open their coffee shops there.
I was reading about an Australian cafe in Singapore, because, you know, Australian style coffee seems to be infecting the world, really. And
well,
Australians are going everywhere, and, you know, some of our well-known coffee shops here have opened in Jakarta,
New York,
and everywhere. So it's amazingly popular.
You go to London and you can tell when an Australian is the barista rather than a local.
Yeah. It's interesting.
The whole vibe is different.
Yeah. But it's interesting, though, because that only came to us because of Italian immigration in the 50s, you know, and it's just become this thing that I don't know if it's evolved or what.
Well, it certainly has evolved. Yeah. I mean, the coffee obsession in Melbourne has just reached a peak.
Yeah.
The other day, sitting outside my office, which is covered in graffiti, there was a milk crate and two empty coffee cups just on my doorstep. And
really?
I was like, in a laneway. And I was like, this is peak Melbourne, and it's just on my doorstep.
One of your staff?
Laneway. Laneway and coffee. That's the perfect Melbourne.
I think it was actually the baristas from the coffee shop directly across the road.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But that's the epitome of it, like you were saying, laneway and coffee.
Are there any other quintessential Singaporean cuisine, kind of even just vibes of the city, how you know that Melbourne is livable and has coffee and has that culture and the laneways? Is there anything that you could just sum up Singapore with?
I think if you go on the waterfront in Singapore, that view, that sums up Singapore for me. So from the Esplanade, so that's a building on the waterfront in Singapore, and you would recognize it because it's shaped like a durian.
Yes.
Shaped like a durian.
Yeah, so it has spiky edges on the top. And I think if you stand there on the waterfront and you look out, and that view is what Singapore means to me. It's pretty much a postcard picture.
Yeah. But you can't eat them?
No, you can't eat them.
Yeah.
But you can have durians on the waterfront.
Yeah.
You can buy durians and eat them there, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I think I tried one. They an acquired taste.
They're different. That's very diplomatic.
I bet they're good in cocktails.
Yeah, I get probably enough alcohol in them to kill the taste of it.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome back to the Escape Hour. I'm Tad, Fiona and Dylan today in the studio. Russ has the day off, and obviously our very special guest is Alicia Chong, who's visiting from Singapore. And you actually come in between Singapore and Melbourne quite frequently. We've got a few minutes left. It's gone very quick today.
It certainly has.
Want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and our podcast will go up on Monday. If anybody's missed the show, you can always listen again on podcast and download it through iTunes or through the joy.org.au website. Yeah, we're going to be back next week with a lot of fun.
Yes, next week we're going to Spain with Jesse Gerner.
Love to go to Spain.
Yeah, and we're going to talk all about the Basque country and, you know, how he is inspired to prepare for all his fabulous venues, which are all Spanish in flavor.
And all the different food locations and, you know, all the different regions there is pretty amazing.
We'll be salivating, that's for sure.
For sure.
I think we've got to organize our guests to actually bring in something from there, from the country of where we are discussing, so that we can eat and make really bad radio by eating on radio and talking about how delicious it is.
But we're not allowed to have food in the studio, apparently.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. So we'll just imagine.
Well, we can still have it outside.
We can have it outside.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Dropping out in the ad breaks and munching.
We're going to extend the ad breaks.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's great.
Lovely
and
to meet you.
Where do we catch the pop-up?
So Majestic Hawker is on next weekend, and you can get tickets from majestichawker.eventbrite.com. So it's a ticketed event, so you've got to get tickets.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend you get on board immediately because there isn't many left.
No, we've only got 6 p.m. seatings left for the weekend.
Wow.
So get on it.
That's great. Well, that's it for us for today. Coming up next is Word for Word, and we look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Yep, see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.